TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. The Best of Bernie Sanders, High Points from His Senate Filibuster. Today, who received secret funding from the Federal Reserve?
After years of stonewalling, the American people have learned the incredible and jaw-dropping details of the Fed's multi-trillion dollar bailout of Wall Street and corporate America.
Vermont's independent Senator Bernie Sanders' 8.5-hour filibuster speech in protest of the bill that, among other gifts, extended tax breaks to the richest Americans, crashed the Senate servers. Bars and pizza parlors carried his speech live. He began speaking on the morning of Friday, December 10, and did not eat or sit down until 7 p.m. He gave one of those speeches many wished President Obama was capable of giving. Even though, or really because, the bill did pass both houses a few days later, Sanders' words must be remembered. This bill, ironically called Tax Relief, Unemployment Insurance Reauthorization and Job Creation Act of 2010, is an attack on Social Security and a blueprint for even larger gifts and tax relief to corporations and the rich. The speech is also filled with fascinating details on the ongoing work by Bernie Sanders and a few colleagues. Sanders had led a fight against the powerful Federal Reserve and won, forcing the central bank to disclose more details than ever on its rescue actions during the financial crisis. Sanders refers to that fight early on in his filibuster.
Mr. President, let me mention that just a couple of weeks ago, the Federal Reserve, published on their website some 21,000 transactions that took place during the Wall Street meltdown period. And that disclosure was made possible as part of a provision that I put into the financial reform bill because I thought it was important that the American people, for the first time, lift the veil of secrecy at the Fed and get a sense of the kind of money that was lent out by the Fed and who received that money. Now, what's very interesting is that the American people and the media have focused on the $700 billion Wall Street bailout, now known as TARP. Now, I happen to have voted against that agreement, but in fairness, that agreement was pretty transparent. The Treasury Department put up on their website all of those banks and financial institutions who received the money. If you want to know where the money went, it's right up there on the Treasury Department's website. But at the same time, a bigger transaction was taking place than TARP, which got relatively little attention, and that was the role that the Fed was playing in terms of the Wall Street bailout. While the TARP issue was being debated during that period, Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Tim Geithner, who was then the president of the New York Fed, and a handful of other very powerful people were sitting behind closed doors getting ready to lend out trillions, underlying trillions, of taxpayer dollars to large financial institutions and corporations with no debate going on in Congress, no debate whatsoever. Now, on March 3rd, 2009, and I'm a member of the Budget Committee, the Senate Budget Committee, I asked the Fed Chairman, Mr. Bernanke, to tell the American people the names of the financial institutions that received this unprecedented backdoor bailout from the Fed, how much they received, and the exact terms of this assistance. And I will never forget that. I asked Mr. Bernanke for that information. He said, Senator, nope, not going to give it to you. Not going to make it public. Well, on that day, I introduced legislation to make that information public. working with a number of members of the House and the Senate. Some strange bedfellows, very conservatives, progressives, came together on this issue. We managed to get into the Wall Street reform bill a disclosure provision. And just on December 1st, last week, that information was made public. And let me talk a little bit about what was in that information made public by the Fed. After years of stonewalling, the American people have learned the incredible and jaw-dropping details of the Fed's multi-trillion-dollar bailout of Wall Street and corporate America, not just Wall Street, one of the things that we learned. As a result of this disclosure, in my view, Congress has got to take a very extensive look at all aspects of how the Federal Reserve functions and how we can make our financial institutions more responsive to the needs of ordinary Americans and small businesses. Now, what have we learned from the disclosure of December 1st? And this is based on an examination of over 21,000 separate Federal Reserve transactions. As it turns out, while small business owners in the state of Vermont and throughout this country were being turned down for loans, not only did large financial institutions, and I'm talking about every major financial institution, receive substantial help from the Fed, but also some of the largest corporations in this country, not financial institutions, also received help in terms of very, very low interest loans. So you got every major financial institution, you got some of our largest private corporations, but here's something that we also learned, and that is that this bailout impacted not just American banks and corporations, but also foreign banks and foreign corporations as well, to the tune of many, many billions of dollars. And then on top of that, a number of the wealthiest individuals in this country also received a major bailout from the Fed. The emergency response, which is what the Fed described their action as during the Wall Street collapse, appears to any objective observer to have been the clearest case that I can imagine of socialism for the very rich and rugged free market capitalism for everybody else. In other words, if you are a huge financial institution whose recklessness and greed caused this great recession, no problem. You are going to receive a substantial amount of help from the taxpayers of this country. If you are a major American corporation like General Electric or McDonald's or Caterpillar or Harley-Davidson or Verizon, no problem. You are going to receive a major handout from the United States government. But if you are a small business in Vermont or in California or Virginia, well, guess what? You're on your own, because right now we know that one of the real impediments to the kind of job creation that we need in this country is that small businesses are not getting the loans they need. Furthermore, what we now know is the extent of the bailout for the large financial corporations. Goldman Sachs received nearly $600 billion. Morgan Stanley received nearly $2 trillion. Citigroup received $1.8 trillion. Bear Stearns received nearly $1 trillion. And Merrill Lynch received some $1.5 trillion in short-term loans from the Fed. But I think what is most surprising for the American people is not just the bailout of Wall Street and the financial institutions and the bailout of large American corporations like General Electric, but I think the American people would find it very strange that at a time when the American automobile sector was on the verge of collapse, and goodness only knows how many thousands and thousands of jobs we have lost in automobile manufacturing in this country, that the Federal Reserve was also bailing out Toyota and Mitsubishi, two Japanese car makers, by purchasing nearly $5 billion worth of their commercial paper from November 5, 2008 through January 30, 2009. While virtually no American made cars or products of any kind are bought in Japan, I think the American people would be shocked to learn that the Fed extended over $380 billion to the Central Bank of Japan to bail out banks in that country. Furthermore, I think the American people are interested to know that the Fed bailed out the Korea Development Bank, the wholly owned state-owned bank of South Korea, by purchasing over $2 billion of its commercial paper. The sole purpose of the Korea Development Bank is to finance and manage major industrial projects to enhance the national economy, not of the United States of America, but of South Korea. I'm not against South Korea. I wish the South Koreans all the luck in the world. But it should not be the taxpayers of the United States lending their banks money to create jobs in South Korea. I would suggest that maybe we want to create jobs in the United States of America. At the same time, the Fed also extended over $40 billion to the Central Bank of South Korea so that it had enough money to bail out its own banks. Now, Mr. President, at a time when small businesses all over this country, in Vermont, all over this country, cannot get the loans they need to expand their businesses, I think the American people would find it extremely, I don't know what the word is, maybe amusing that the Fed bailed out the state-owned bank of Bavaria. Bavaria, it's not Pennsylvania, not California, Bavaria, by purchasing over $2.2 billion of its commercial paper. Furthermore, I think the American people would find it incomprehensible that the Fed chose to bail out the Arab Banking Corporation based in Bahrain by providing them with over $23 billion in loans with an interest rate as low as 0.25%. But it would be a nice thing, I think, if maybe the Fed would start paying attention to banks in this country. Furthermore, the Fed extended over $9.6 billion to the Central Bank of Mexico. Now, what's interesting about all of this, Mr. President, is that we had a very, very vigorous debate here in the Senate and in the House over the $700 billion TARP program. Every person in America could turn on C-SPAN and hear that debate, hear what President Bush had to say, hear what then-Senator Obama had to say, Senator McCain had to say. It was all pretty public. But what took place at the Fed, which in fact amounted to a larger bailout, was done behind closed doors. Over $3 trillion was lent out with zero transparency. In fact, as a result of this recent disclosure, this is the first time we have gotten a glimpse of the magnitude and the particulars, the specificities of where that money was lent out. And I think this is not a good thing for this country. Again, I voted against the bailout of Wall Street, but the debate was open. It was public. People wrote to their senators, called their senators. That's called democracy. After the TARP bailout took place, all of the loans were put up on the website. Transparency, the American people knew who got the money. But the actions of the Fed were done behind closed doors. And in my view, as an issue we're studying right now, I think that there were significant conflicts of interest. I think you had people sitting there at the New York Fed who were beneficiaries of this bailout. And that is just an issue that we've got to explore. And I should tell you, Mr. President, that as part of the provision we got into the financial reform bill, the GAO is in fact doing just that, investigating possible conflicts of interest at the Fed with regard to this bailout. But I think the question that the American people are asking as they read about what the Fed did during the financial crisis is whether or not the Fed has now become the central bank of the world without any debate on the floor of the United States Senate or the Congress and without the knowledge of the American people. And I think that that is wrong. So I would hope that out of this effort in bringing disclosure and transparency to the Fed, that one of the things that will come will be more transparency at the Fed. Mr. President, as I indicated a moment ago, the Fed said that this bailout was necessary in order to prevent the world economy from going over a cliff. But 3 years after the start of the recession, millions of Americans remain unemployed and have lost their homes, their life savings, and their ability to send their kids to college. Meanwhile, huge banks, large corporations, have returned to making incredible profits and paying their executives record-breaking compensation packages as if the financial crisis they started never occurred. What this recent disclosure tells us, among many other things, is that despite this huge taxpayer bailout, the Fed did not make the appropriate demands on these financial institutions, which would have been necessary to rebuild our economy and protect the needs of ordinary Americans. In other words, what they simply did is give out billions and billions of dollars, which were used in the self-interests of these financial institutions, rather than saying the American people who are hurting are bailing you out, and now that we've bailed you out, your responsibility is to do what you can do to create jobs and to improve the standard of living of the people whose lives you have severely impacted. And let me just give you a few examples of what could have been done and what should be done. At a time when big banks have nearly $1 trillion in excess reserves parked at the Fed has not required these institutions to increase lending to small and medium-sized businesses as the condition of the bailout. Instead of the Fed just giving money to these financial institutions, the Fed should have said, we're giving you this money in order to get it into the economy. Start providing affordable loans to small businesses. President, at a time when large corporations are more profitable than ever, the Fed did not demand that corporations that received this backdoor bailout create jobs and expand the economy once they returned to profitability. So what's going on in America, unemployment officially at 9.8, in real sense probably at 15-16%. Wall Street is now doing fine. A few years ago, Wall Street earned some 40% of all profits in America. They're doing great. But what the Fed should have done and should do now is to tell Wall Street, you're part of the economy. You're not an isolated area just living for yourselves. You've got to be part of the productive economy. You've got to lend out money to small businesses to start creating jobs. Mr. President, my office intends to investigate whether these secret Fed loans, in some cases, turned out to be direct corporate welfare to big banks that may have used those loans not to reinvest in the economy, but rather to lend back to the federal government at a higher rate of interest by purchasing Treasury securities. Now, we don't know that. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not true, but we'll take a look at it. In other words, did the Fed give 0.5% loans to a bank and that bank then purchase a Treasury security at 2 or 3%? If so, you got a 2% profit margin, and that is nothing but corporate welfare. The goal of the bailout was not to make Wall Street richer. The goal was to expand our economy and put people to work. Furthermore, Mr. President, you know, as part of the TARP agreement, there was an effort to say to the financial institutions that we're not bailing you out in order for you to get huge compensation packages. We're not going to give you federal money so that you can make all kinds of money. We put limitations on executive compensation. Did the Fed play the role of allowing some of the large financial institutions to pay back the TARP money, use the Fed money, and then continue with their very, very high executive compensation? Don't know that. It is worth investigating. Furthermore, Mr. President, and this is an issue that I have worked on for a number of years. You know, every major religion on earth, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, you name it, has always felt that usury was immoral, usury. And what we mean by usury is that when somebody doesn't have a whole lot of money and you lend them money, you don't take blood out of a stone. You don't ask for outrageously high interest rates when somebody is hurting. And yet today, Mr. President, we have millions of people in our country, and I hear from Vermonters every week on this issue, who are paying 25 or 30%, and in some cases, even higher interest rates on their credit cards. That is getting blood out of a stone. And yet, many of the credit card companies were bailed out by the taxpayers of this country. What the Fed must do is say to those companies, sorry, you can't continue to rip off the American people and charge them 25 or 30% interest rates. Now, as it happens, the four largest banks in this country, which are Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, issue half of all mortgages in this country. Now, that unto itself is a huge problem. They issue half of all mortgages, two-thirds of all credit cards. And that speaks to another issue about the need to start breaking up these financial institutions. But when you have a handful of banks who have received huge bailouts from the federal government, who are issuing two-thirds of the credit cards in this country, it seems to me to be somewhat absurd that the Fed did not say to them, sorry, you can't charge people 25 or 30% interest rates on their credit cards. And the same principle applies to the mortgages. I don't have to tell anybody in this country that we have seen millions of folks lose their homes through foreclosure. And once again, we see the four largest banks in this country, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, issue half of all mortgages in this country. How many more Americans could have remained in their homes if the Fed required those bailed out banks to reduce mortgage payments as a condition of receiving these secret loans? In terms of the interest rates on credit cards, a lot of people don't know this, but right now, the banks are able to charge as much as they want to charge, but in fact, credit unions are not. Right now, we are looking at a situation where over one quarter of all credit card holders in this country are now paying interest rates above 20%, and in some cases, as high as 79%. And in my view, Mr. President, when credit card companies charge over 20% interest, they are not engaged in the business of making credit available to their customers. They are involved in extortion and loan sharking. Nothing essentially different than gangsters who charge outrageously high prices for their loans and who break kneecaps when their victims can't afford to pay them. So that's where we are right now. And we are working on legislation which would say to these private banks not to charge any more money for the credit that they provide than do the credit unions. So, Mr. President, on and on and on it goes. The rich and large corporations get richer. The CEOs earn huge compensation packages. When things get bad, don't worry. Uncle Sam and the American taxpayers are here to bail you out. But when you are in trouble, well, we just can't afford to help you if you're in the working class or the middle class of this country.
That was an excerpt from Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' 8.5-hour filibuster speech in protest of the so-called Tax Relief, Unemployment Insurance Reauthorization and Job Creation Act of 2010. The act also extended tax breaks to the richest of the rich. In his last-ditch appeal to prevent adoption, Sanders explained that this bill begins to dismantle Social Security and sets in motion even larger gifts to corporations and banks while doing nothing to create jobs. Bernie Sanders was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history. Born in 1941 in Brooklyn, Sanders was the younger of two sons in a modest income family. Before his 1990 election to Congress, Sanders lectured at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. Come back when TUC Radio returns for more gems and intriguing facts from Bernie Sanders' 8.5-hour filibuster speech. He spoke in the Senate on December 10, 2010. Thanks to C-SPAN for the audio from their 8.5-hour video. Links to the video, to Bernie Sanders' Senate webpage, and to the recipients of Federal Reserve largesse are on TUC Radio's website. You can hear this program again on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under Newest Programs. You can get information on how to order an audio CD by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation or CD order keeps this program on the air. Call anytime at 707-463-2654 for information on how to order. You can get your CD by mail or credit card by phone or online on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.